ambrosial song of the beautiful Lord Sri Krishna, chapter 6, Dhyan Yoga, divine communion through self-control and meditation. Lord Sri Krishna said, "One who is not depending upon the fruits of his actions while performing his prescribed duty is a true sannyasi and a yogi, not he who lights no fire and performs no sacred rites." What the sages call renunciation, Arjuna, you should know that to be actual yoga. For indeed, no one can become a yogi without renouncing all worldly ambitions. For the sage desirous of ascending to union with the Supreme, activity is said to be the means. For one who has already attained to union with the Supreme, tranquility is said to be the means. When one is clinging on to neither the objects of the senses nor to reward-centered activities and has renounced all worldly ambitions, he is said to have ascended to yoga, the soul's communion with the Supreme Spirit. One should uplift the self by way of the mind. One should not degrade the self. Indeed, the mind can be a friend to the self and his enemy as well. The mind conquered by the self will be a friendly companion to the self. But the unconquered mind will maintain rivalry and hostility with the self like an enemy. One who has conquered the mind is united with the oversoul or supersoul, and is therefore always peacefully equipoised, and neither heat or cold, happiness or distress, honor or dishonor. One whose satisfaction is derived from divine truth and self-realization, whose senses are conquered, and who is steadfast in yoga, such a person is said to be united with Godhead. Because his inner spiritual vision has been awakened, he perceives equally a lump of earth, stone, and gold. One who views impartially both friend and enemy alike, who stands neutrally between foes and kinsmen, the righteous and the sinful, whose intelligence is demonstrated by absolute equality, he is outstanding among humankind. The yoga practitioner should constantly concentrate on the self, remaining alone in solitude and completely controlling the mind's thoughts without extraneous desires or unnecessary possessions, establishing a firm seat for himself in a purified place, the seat being a cloth-covered deer skin placed upon kusha grass, should be neither too high nor too low. Therefore, directing his mind to a single point, controlling the thoughts and activities of the senses, he should sit on that asana and focus upon the practice of meditational yoga for the purpose of self-purification. Holding the body, neck, and head upright, remaining steady and motionless, focusing his gaze at the top of his nose or between his eyebrows, and not looking anywhere else, with a quieted, subdued mind banishing fear and established in a vow of celibacy, the steadfast yoga practitioner should sit and devotedly meditate upon me, considering me to be his ultimate goal. Thus continuously disciplining himself, the yogi whose mind is subdued, attains nirvana, supreme peace and freedom and union with me. In this yoga practice, there is neither overeating nor complete fasting, and neither sleeping more than required, and not remaining continually awake. For one who is moderate in eating and in sleeping, in work and in recreation, the disciplined practice of meditation becomes the destroyer of all his sorrows. When one is absorbed in the self alone, in full control of his thoughts, and free from all longings born of lust, he is then indeed said to be firmly situated in yoga. Recorded in the scriptures is a simile that as a candle in a windless place does not flicker, so the yogi whose thoughts are controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the self. In that place where all thoughts come to rest, having been quieted by the practice of meditation, where one experiences great satisfaction within the self upon beholding the self, there one discovers the location of that infinite joy which transcends the senses, and he embraces it with his enlightened intellect. Once established there, one does not move from the truth, and having attained that, one can imagine no greater gain. Thus situated, one is not disturbed, even in the midst of extreme external circumstances. Let it be known that this dissolution of union with pain is called yoga. One should not become discouraged in the practice of this meditation, but should persevere with determination, abandoning without exception all motives produced of worldly desires, and utilizing his mind to completely subdue all the senses. Gradually, little by little, one should come to rest with a firm hold on the intellect. Fixing the mind on the self alone, he should not think of anything else whatsoever. Wherever the restless and unsteady mind wanders away to, one must pull it back from there to be once again controlled by the self alone. The yogi who is emptied of sin, whose mind is peaceful, and whose passions are calmed, indeed attains the highest happiness upon being immersed in the undivided supreme beatitude. Thus constantly engaged in a yogic discipline and purged of all evils, the yogi easily discovers unending bliss upon encountering Brahman. Seeing Brahman, the self present in all beings, and all beings present in Brahman, the yogi conjoined with the Supersoul sees the sameness among all souls. One who sees me everywhere and sees all things in me is never separated from me, nor am I ever separated from him. Whatever be his condition of existence as he moves throughout the world, yogi worships me as the one abiding in all beings with the spirit of absolute harmony, and thus he always abides within me. One who sees the sameness between his own self and the self within all beings, thus viewing the happiness and distress of all others as his own, is considered to be the highest type of yogi, O Arjuna. O Madhusudan, due to the mind's unsteadiness, I cannot see how this evenness of mind in the method of meditation explained by you can be permanently maintained. The mind is indeed restless, troubling, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and I think that restraining the mind is as difficult to accomplish as restraining the wind. Bhagavan replied to Arjuna, Oh, Mahabaho, mighty armed one, it is undoubtedly difficult to restrain the restless mind, but it can be controlled by practice, O Konteya, and by detachment from worldly pursuits. I consider yoga difficult to achieve by one whose mind is uncontrolled, but yoga is possible to achieve by one whose mind is controlled and who strives by proper means. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the destination of one who has arrived at the platform of faith but is unable to subdue his mind? If his mind is continuously distracted during his practice of yoga and he thus does not attain perfection, where does he go? O mighty armed Krishna, if one becomes overwhelmed by the mind on the path of divine realization and is thus fallen in both worldly and spiritual endeavors, does he not perish like a riven cloud with no solid foundation anywhere? This is my doubt, O Krishna, which only you are able to dispel completely. Other than you, no one exists who can truly remove this doubt of mine. Sri Krishna replied, O son of Prita, the unsuccessful yogi does not meet with destruction or loss, either in this world or in heaven. Truly, my dear one, it is to be found that no one who walks the path of virtue ever arrives at an unfortunate destination. After dwelling for countless years in the heavenly worlds where the righteous reside, one who has fallen from the practice of yoga is reborn into a virtuous and prosperous household. Or he is born into a family of yogis who possess great wisdom. Such a birth as this is certainly more difficult to obtain in this world. Thereupon he is reunited with the divine insight which he acquired in his previous birth, and he thus once again strives towards perfection even more assiduously, O descendant of the Guru. As a result of his prior practice, the unsuccessful yogi is carried on in his quest, truly even against his will. One who even wishes to know about the internal potential of the soul transcends the necessity to perform the external rituals of the Vedas. By his persevering effort and his control over his mind, the yogi, completely cleansed of evil and perfected after many births, then goes to the supreme destination, Param Gatim. The yogi is considered to be superior to the ascetics, superior to the performers of prescribed ritual acts, and even superior to those in pursuit of scriptural knowledge. Arjuna, therefore, become a yogi. And among all the yogis, the one who approaches me with his innermost heart, full of faith and love, I consider to be most intimately united with me in divine communion. Thus ends the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Dhyan Yoga, Divine Communion Through Self-Control and Meditation.